हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी वर डिस्कसिंग यस्टरडे अबाउट द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म। We also mentioned there that the universal form is also like, is another Maya, is Maya. Universal form is Maya. And from the Arjuna, why is it called Maya? One thing, it is changing. Secondly, it comes and goes. Comes and goes. All of them are not spiritual reality. It's not a spiritual reality. It's an experience Krishna has given to Arjuna temporarily to make Arjuna understand that the like Yashoda Devi and Bali Maharaj and Dhritarashtra and many others had to go through the same thing, isn't it? Now and then, Krishna has to make us understand that we are nothing. That's the first principle, to make us understand that we are nothing. So, unfortunately, in Duryodhana's case, it didn't happen, so the war became necessary. And Arjuna saw the form, and Arjuna understood he is nothing. Up to that, Arjuna thought about himself, that he is somewhat important. He is somewhat important, but that is gone. So, this universal form was shown with one purpose, to make Arjuna understand that Arjuna's perception of the world has changed, is it not? His perception of the world has changed. Till then, Arjuna thought that he has to fight the war. These are his enemies. These are my men, my army, my friends. And it is important to fight this war, to establish the dharmam and all that kind of things. But Krishna made a higher understanding to Arjuna by showing this universal form to him. Without my sanction, nothing happens here in this creation. Without Krishna's sanction, nothing happens here. And everything is happening completely under Krishna's direction and Krishna's control. This is the point Arjuna realized at this stage. That's why we were reading that verses. And Arjuna's experience of seeing the universal form, that's what we talked about yesterday. Is it not? That Arjuna is saying, wonderful form of Krishna. All those verses Arjuna is saying to Krishna, that is from verse 15 onwards, is the way Arjuna is seeing that universal form. It is just a description, that's all. It has no more significance than that. From verse 15 onwards, all the way, right up to, we have read through up to 25, we have read, isn't it? I can see Prabhupada didn't give much of a purport or anything on that. Just a translation of the verses. Why? Because all those verses are nothing but a description of Arjuna's experience at that particular moment. What he is seeing there. And we'll go into the 26th verse, 26 and 27. Amijatvam dadarashtasya putraham. Sarve sahaiva vinipala sankhaim. Bhishmo Drona Sudaputrastata Saum Sahasmadi Yerebi Yodamukheim Amijatvam Dhritarashtrasya Putra Sarve Sahaiva Vinipala Sankheim Bhishmo Drona Sudaputrastata Saum Sahasmadiyairabhiyodhamukheim Vaktrani deturamana vishandi Damshtrakarala nijvayanakani Kejidvilagna dashanandaresho Samdrishyande churnidai uttamangaihi Vaktrani Detvaramana Vishandi Dhamshtrakaralani Bhayanakani Kejit Vilagna Dashanandareshu Samdrishyande Churnidai Uttamangehi. So, we'll need the translation. All the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with their allied kings and Bhishma, Drona and Karna and all our soldiers are rushing into your mouths, their heads smashed by your fearful teeth. I see that some are being crushed between your teeth as well. So, war has not happened yet. It's prior to that all this is happening, isn't it? So, we were talking about it yesterday also, that in the power of influence of Maya, what happens? That Maya Shakti, within her spectrum or within her sphere, we are discussing the same topic like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, more or less the same subject here also, that what she wants to do, she'll do it. What she wants to do, she will do it. And Krishna is also giving the same experience to Arjuna here, that if you think that you have any freedom from Maya at any time and you have any separate decision-making power, you can forget that, says. Always people ask this question, isn't it? Is it my willpower or destiny? What matters? You know that. Everybody asks this question. This is the only doubt they have. It's my destiny or my willpower. What overrides everything? What overrides everything? So, this, when they say that, what it means is, they are accepting destiny, but they are also feeling that willpower has a separate decision-making power or decision-making capacity. But if you understand, both this willpower and the destiny are happening within Maya. That's more important. Maya decides, whether you call it destiny, it is not destiny. Maya has a rule behind it. It is our destiny because Prarabdham has created that situation, that we have to go through that in this. Maya is engaging us in a particular way, allowing that the Prarabdham should happen. That is more important for her. For Maya, what is important is that the Prarabdham should get finished, exhausted, while in this body. So therefore, she creates that situation for us. And willpower and other things, you can say so many things, but ultimately, when you see this universal form, or when you understand the power of Maya, you won't even ask that question. Even that question has no value. For example, you can see how Maya engages us. Engages in that every time she'll give you relief for something, and the very next moment she'll hit you with the same thing. She'll hit you with the same thing. So, if sometimes you will think this is correct, like that is why, from the Vedantam's main argument against science is this. Vedantam is saying that science is not able to hold on to anything permanently, continuously changing their conclusions all the time, isn't it? It's always changing. Theories are changing. And that is the work of Maya. Maya will tell us that one scientist has come out with some conclusions, some scientific conclusions. Maya will make him realize that this is the truth and we will all accept that truth. 50-60 years or so it will stay like that. After another one scientist comes and he will establish totally opposing idea and he will bring out some other truth and Maya will make us all convinced that this is the truth. She plays this game all the time with us. And we have no choice in these things, isn't it? Now they are now questioning Einstein's law, everything. They are people saying that that's not correct. There's mistake there also. So nothing in Maya's world, whatever so-called law, what we try to prove or what we try to establish, it has its own limitations because still the controlling factor is Maya. Maya's, the beauty of Maya is that akatita ghatana padiyasi maya. What you think is not possible, she will always make us convinced it is correct. It can happen. It can. What you think is not possible, it can happen. She will make it happen. She can make it happen. So, ultimately you can see in this field of Maya, even if you try to rectify it, no matter how hard you try, it will not stay. This is another aspect of Maya. That is very easy to understand, isn't it? In this world, for happiness, for various ways, we have tried to improve the conditions here. But Maya won't allow to improve the conditions. Actually, if you look at it this way, we say we have conquered so many diseases, isn't it? We have conquered this, we have conquered smallpox, we have conquered so many other things. We have got now solutions to many illnesses. It doesn't exist in this planet anymore. The World Health Organization all make claims. But you ask this World Health Organizations, what are the, if you can provide us a complete list of diseases present in this world today, you will see the list has actually gone up. The list didn't come down. The illnesses what didn't exist before are in the list now. New list has become, got revised, revision 1, 2, it goes on like this. The lists are constantly getting revised. That is the way Maya operates. We say that you can never say certain illnesses, for example, diabetes and things like that, cancer, and so many instances, we have treated, but what has happened? It is coming. It is still coming, and it is no solution. And we know very well that that Maya will not allow us to get away with it. So, temporarily you may feel some relief here and come to some balance and all that. But prakritim anyatha bhavet na kadanchit bhavishyati. You cannot altogether upset this balance what prakriti provides. Balance means whatever prakriti has set up, material nature has set up, that you cannot completely turn it upside down. You cannot change it. Within her law, you can play some games there. Adjustments you can make. But never, any time, you'll be able to come out of it and control her her energy or material nature's activity. Because, why is like that? What can you do while keeping this body? When you are keeping this body with you, what can you do with this body? So, if you keep on thinking, remember in Bhagavatam what we talked about, that if you think that I am this body, if you think that if I am this body, and if I am always thinking I am this body, there is no hope. There is no hope at all. If I think I am this body, if I think I am this body, and keeping this body, if I think I have a solution to the problem, there is no solution to the problem. This is the most important thing. Because the very fact that if my nature is this material body, and if I am this material body, and nobody can live in this world in the plane of this body, in the bodily level, you cannot live in this world forever. It's not possible. That is how it is created. That is how it is created. So, suppose I am this body, and when I got birth, suppose I had some, what do they call, deformities, isn't it? If you have some hands or legs or problem with the eyes or something, any deformity like that, what can you do? You are born with that, isn't it? Then you have to live with that for the rest of the life. Suppose you are born as blind, then there is no answer to that. There is no solution yet that you can get back your vision. There are many people who are similarly deaf or any problems if you are born as a partially paralyzed or something like that. So various things can happen to this body at the time of birth. And if I am that body and I have no escape, then there is nothing you can do about it. If I am that body, there is no solution to the problem, isn't it? I just have to accept it in that way. You can't do anything. You can do all these kind of things like plastic surgery and things like that, but that's not going to solve all the problems of this body. So, first thing is that I'm not this body, and not only that, even if you, this is where Krishna's philosophy becomes much more forceful. What Krishna is saying to us is that from this body, if you take some part and take it away, there is something which is whole inside, which never gets diminished. For example, I am, my existence, if it is centered around the body only, then there is no hope. Then there is no hope. But everybody knows in this world that inside somebody is telling you that my body has gone, body is affected, but my very awareness or consciousness, that is not at any time affected by that. Even if the part of the body has gone, the consciousness is not affected. I am existing full, isn't it? Completely I exist. So sometimes you will come see this in practice also. In some of these holy places when you go, you will see, you'll be surprised to see certain people there that they have practiced yoga system to some extent. One occasion in Haridwar, there was one person, he has lost both his legs and both his arms as well. Apparently he was a soldier in the army, and in the battlefield some mine blew up and he lost his arms and legs, but he didn't die. He didn't die. After the war was over, he left everything, and because naturally family life, everything finishes with that, isn't it? Nobody is going to care for somebody who has got lost all his legs and hands, everything. So naturally he understood that he had to go through that experience. But after leaving everything, he got into spiritual life seriously. And in that process, he started realizing, I have not lost anything. What I have lost is my hands and legs, not me. Not me. So situations like this in life makes us aware that my identity with the body is only limited. It's only limited to the extent that if I am only identifying with the body, I have no hope anymore. There is no point in talking about bondage, no talking about liberation, no point in talking about bhakti, jnanam, yogam, karmam, all these things has no meaning then. Is it not? So the fact that Krishna has spoken about these things is to point out to us, just because something has happened to the body, your spiritual life does not come to an end with that. The spirit soul is complete. Purnamadam, purnamidam, purnat, purnam, udachyade, purnasya, purnam. It's always purnam. That vastu inside is always purnam. Always it's purnam. While this person who had experienced this lost his hands and legs, he was sitting on the roadside. Somebody asked him, how do you feel now with this situation? He says, completely happy. Completely happy. No complaints, he says. How could he say that? How could he say that? Unless inside that anandam is trickling down from the soul, it is not possible to make that statement. There is some experience inside from the soul coming to him. So, you will see this in the Bhagavadam. Muchukunda spoke about this. This Muchukunda's prayers in the Bhagavadam is a very special prayers in the Srimad Bhagavadam. If you look there, you will see that Muchukunda was a great personality, wasn't it? You know that Muchukunda has come as Sridhara Swami later. Krishna has told him that he has to accept another body and come back, and Muchukunda wrote the commentary on the Srimad Bhagavadam, what is called as Sridhariyam or Bhavartha Divya, there's two names used for that. So here in the Muchukunda, there is a famous prayers which we will discuss later sometime, only the glorifications of Muchukunda of Krishna. So here what he said was, some of the statements from Muchukunda is very, very interesting. Muchukunda says, Vimohi doyam jana isha mayaya tudiyadam tvam bhajati anarthadak sukhaya dukha prabhaveshu sajjate griheshu yoshit purushascha vanchita. You know the story of Muchukunda. I hope you know. We talked about this. Muchukunda was a powerful personality in the solar dynasty from the Ikshvaku's lineage. And this Muchukunda, he was invited by Indra to fight the war in the heavenly planets when they had problems with some demons. Muchukunda went there and helped them in the war. and demigods won the war, and as a token of gratitude, the demigods asked Muchukunda, what benediction do you want? Muchukunda said, I want liberation from this cycle of birth and death. That's what I'm looking for, he said. And demigod said, we can't offer you that. We can't give that to you. You can ask anything else from that. Muchukunda said to them, if you can't offer that, then there's nothing else I have got to ask you either. The only thing I can ask you is that let me go and sleep comfortably somewhere. At least give me that. That's all you can offer. Nothing. I don't need anything else from you, because as far as opulence is concerned, I have all the opulences in the kingdom, what he had. So here Muchukunda says to Krishna, then Katanjidavyam my Ayatnatho Anakaha. In the verse is that it says here that Katanjidango Ayatnatho Anakaha, he says. Labdhva jano durlabham atramanusham katanjidavyangam ayatnadhonaka padaravindam na bhajatyasan madir grihandakube parido yatha pashu. He says to him that labdhva jano durlabham atramanusham. Muchukunda says to Krishna that labdhva jano durlabham atramanusham. This human body is a very, very rare thing. Very, very rare thing. Why did he say like that? He had all the comforts and the extreme happiness in his life, isn't it? He's a king. So you can imagine what that means. Not only a king, king of the Solar dynasty. That means a very powerful emperor of that time. Long, long ago, this incident happened. And he was a powerful king at that time. And Muchukunda says to Krishna that Labdhva jano durlabham atra manusham. The only thing I have to say to you, he says to Krishna, what is the use? As a king with all the comforts and facilities and no anxiety in life as far as the material life is concerned, in spite of that, when a statement is coming from him, you can read through the mind of Muchukunda what kind of person he is. He says, Katanjil Avyangam Ayatnado Anakha. I have got this body, which is a very, very rare thing. And that too, I have got this body of a king. In this body, I should have done something better than what I have done. What is the use? What did I get from this? It is the same mood of Parikshit. Parikshit did study the same thing, isn't it? If Parikshit wanted, he could have got out of that curse when he was cursed by the Brahmana boy, isn't it? He was such a personality. If Parikshit wanted to escape from that curse, he could have escaped, but he didn't. He accepted that. Similarly, here also, Muchukunda is saying to Krishna that I don't see anything worthwhile in this world, even the position what they had as a king, with so much opulences and so much power, authority, everything. They are saying this, not we are saying, they are saying this, that what's the use? To indicate to us, why did they bring Parikshit and Muchukunda and all, to tell us that even they have acknowledged the fact that there is nothing in this world worthwhile fighting for. This is the realization of Muchukunda. This is the realization of Parikshit as well. The realization, there is nothing in this world worthwhile fighting for, because ultimately all of it is only going to bring distress. They have come to the firm conclusion, what is worthwhile here is how free from this cycle of birth and death and come to the platform of the soul, self-realization, in other words. So here, he says here, Labdhva jano durlabham atra manusham katanjid avyangam ayatnatho anakha. Katanjid avyangam ayatnatho anakha. First thing, I got a human body. And not only that, this human body has no defects in this body. I got a body which is a perfect body without any defects. So I said, if you have some defects in the body, some problems in the body, then the body also becomes not much useful. It has got its problems, isn't it? But he is saying here, Muchunda is saying to Krishna, kadanchid avyanga ayatnatho anakha, that I got this opportunity to realize the truth, and what did I do? I simply got involved in this administration of the kingdom, and I spent and wasted my life, he says. Grihanda kube edida edha pashu. Like an animal which has fallen into a pit, I have fallen into the pit of this family life and the life of this king, and the result is that now I have lost my time. I lost my chance. He is lamenting. He is repenting about that. And in very strong words, he spoke this to Krishna. He spoke this to Krishna. And you can see that also sometimes in this world, people have got a lot of wealth and they have got all facilities. They can eat well, everything is there. Air-conditioned room, they are sleeping there and they are comfortable. Physically everything is comfortable, but inside problems. Inside different kinds of problems. So still there is distress inside. Still there is distress inside. You will hear a lot of these stories when you talk to people, how their distress is affecting them. People have got money, but then problem in the family. Husband and wife not getting on very well. Children are not listening. So many miseries they are going through. At the same time, they are forced to work and accumulate wealth as well in this world. So at some point in time, from inside, somebody is telling them what is the point in doing all these things if there is no happiness there. So here also, here it says to him that I've got everything, a full body, and you can see here that many people, no satisfaction inside. So at least when there is a Mujunda's point is, if you have got a full body without any defects in that body, you should be satisfied with that, because sometimes people may look okay externally, but there is problem inside with the mind or problem with intelligence. So many examples, only thing you know it more than me. If you observe these things, you are always seeing this. Coming from very, very wealthy families, rich families, but certain problems inside. Somebody born in that family with problems in the mind, problems with intelligence or something. So there is no happiness. That is why you will see them also coming to the temple sometimes, because there is distress inside. So here, perfection in the material life is not possible. So perfecting this body, with the perfection in this body, there is not possible to reach shanti or peace inside this world, in this Maya, in Maya's world. So, so not only this body, even if you lose a part of this body, hands or legs or whatever it may be, it does not touch my consciousness, awareness inside of my existence, isn't it? It doesn't touch. What does that indicate? That is the question. So far, we are talking about the body. In body, if I am this body, if my identification with the body is complete, anything that is happening to the body is not affecting my consciousness or awareness. It's not affecting the awareness, isn't it? This is the proof to tell us that the soul and the body are not interacting each other. That is the proof. That if they are interacting, if anything is happening to the body, it should happen in the consciousness. At no time, even if you have taken the two legs and two hands away, or any other defects have happened in the body, still that purnatvam or completeness inside me, or my awareness of my existence, is not minimized at all. I am still aware of my existence in full, as much as I was with the full body or with the part body. To show to us that consciousness, which is a part of the Supreme Consciousness, Krishna's presence inside, is unaffected by anything what is happening in the Maya. What is happening in the Maya? Because body is a part of the Maya. We talked about that in Bhagavatam. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything belongs to Prakriti, Maya. It is only the Paraprakriti, the soul, that is belongs to Krishna. Belongs to Krishna. So, just because you can see, this is particularly present, this more awareness of that comes in the deep sleep state. In the deep sleep state. Even though that it does not affect that, does not touch the soul in any way. What it means is that in no way it can influence the awareness of our existence. So because I don't have the hands or legs, it doesn't mean that my sleep is affected. I will still sleep, isn't it? And the deep sleep state. It doesn't affect my hunger also. It doesn't, because I have lost my legs and hands, does it minimize my food consumption? You have to think like that also, isn't it? Normally, because I don't have hands and legs, does it mean that my hunger is changed? I still feel the same hunger. Even if the legs and hands are gone, I still eat very much. They can eat. But if I am the body, if on the pretext that I am this body, if I am thinking about it, I have to take it that I don't have hands and legs. So why do I need so much food? But that is not so. It doesn't happen that way. So these parts are, so even though you have broken the hands and legs and separated them from the body, my awareness is not broken, isn't it? The awareness is not broken. So if this one principle, if we have absorbed in us, even we don't have to see the universal form. You don't have to see the universal form because everything else is confusion. Everything else is confusion. This is the only one thing that is complete in all these things is that awareness, which is complete and it will remain complete from beginning to end. At no time there is any change in the awareness, is it not? Any time there is no change in the awareness. These things we should reflect separately sometime. When you have free time, you should think about these things. Why is Krishna saying all these important things in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam? To make us understand. You see, we have been educated through body and mind and intelligence. And it is very deep in us. Is it not? So many years we spend in the college, school, university, everywhere to acquire this avidya. That I am this body. And that is the conditioning of this mind and conditioning of the intelligence. And suddenly when Krishna is saying to us to think in a different way, we are hesitating. Because we feel that we already know about it. We don't know about it. This is the problem. That these changes, what is happening in the body, totally independently, the awareness and consciousness is functioning. That is the proof to tell us, Krishna is saying that purnatvam or perfection is never possible in the body, but it is possible in the soul. It's possible in the soul. Perfection is only possible in the soul. Purnatvam. That is why all Upanishads, all Vedantam, everything stress on this one point. What is that? Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnam, Udachade. Purnase, Purnamadaya, Purnameva, Vishishade. That verse is so important in the Upanishad because to prove to us that Purnatvam, perfection, is only in the soul. It's not in the body. Body we are seeing, it cannot, can never be perfect at any stage. So, sometimes some people, they have lost their legs and in the deep sleep state, they don't know. In the deep sleep state, they are not. There's a proof for that because sometimes in the war, soldiers, they lose some of their limbs and they come back after the war, from the war, they brought back and then they due to drugs and all, they may have problems with the sleep, but they fall into sometimes deep sleep as well. And suddenly, if a telephone rings, they'll get up and start walking, forgetting that the leg is gone, because somewhere it has not accepted that the leg is gone inside. Somewhere it has not been accepted yet. Physically it has gone, But in the consciousness, it hasn't gone yet. That acceptance hasn't happened inside. And it takes a very, very long time for them to completely come to accept that. So, sometimes they won't even know, particularly coming from the deep sleep state, they won't even know that the leg is gone or hands have gone. So, so still people are thinking like this, that they understand that I'm not this body, I'm not this hand, I'm not this leg, all these things. But then they will ask the question, am I the heart then? That's also another question sometimes they ask. Because why? Because ever since this cardiac operation started, you can see when they do this cardiac operation, they'll stop the heart for a while for the operation to continue. That after the operation, they will bring back the heart into action again. Will bring back the heart into action again and it will start functioning. So people will ask this question, does that mean that I did not exist at that time and I come back into life again later on? So this but if you ask the question, what was your experience at that time, they will answer you that they were in a state of sleep. They were in a state of sleep. They were in a state of sleep. So practically what it is saying to us is that you are working with the heart in the cardiac operation. You are working with the heart. Heart has stopped. In the deep sleep, heart is functioning. Whether heart is functioning or not functioning, irrespective of what happens with the heart, in the deep sleep state, the soul can stay completely unaffected by anything what is going on inside the body. This is another proof of that. That no matter what is going on in the body, people are thinking that, oh, hand is gone or leg is gone. Okay, they accept that I am not the heart, I'm not the hand, I'm not the leg. But when it comes to the heart, they have a difficulty in accepting that because they think that everything is here, the life is here. You can, under no circumstances, you can do anything with the soul. It has its own way of functioning. And heart operations when they perform, cardiac operations when they perform, at that time they stop the heart and they do what they have to do in the operation and they bring it back again into life. Basically what's happening at that stage is from the deep sleep state it's coming back into the waking state again. That's all it is. Nothing different than that. So if you ask them, they will say that all I had was I had a good sleep at that time. And so in other words, it's also proving that not because the heart is functioning that we are living in this world. This is another misconception. So it is because Krishna is present there that the heart is functioning. Not that the heart is functioning we are living, but because Krishna is present there that the heart is functioning. Heart is functioning. So sometimes we say due to a heart attack somebody died. We say like that, isn't it? There is nothing bigger foolishness than that, from that statement. Heart attack, he has died. What happened is, when he died, the heart stopped. This is the other way. He didn't die because of the... But the common usage is heart attack. We say, heart attack. Oh, he had a heart attack, he died, we say. It's not like that. He died and therefore the heart stopped. See, other way. So, all these conceptions in our head, this has to go. And that is why we have to say all these things again, again and again. You may be getting bored by me repeating the same thing again. Because already in your own mind, you've already agreed what the science has said, isn't it? Tomorrow we'll again say, oh, he died because he had a heart attack. After hearing all these things, we'll repeat the same thing again to somebody. He had a heart attack, so he died. Or he had cancer, he died. Or he had diabetes, he died. We'll say all this. Prabhupada again, so many times he said this, don't say these foolish things to anymore, he said. He said many times. He said he didn't die because of this, because of that. That happened after he left, he said. It failed. So, but we only know, that's all what we see with our gross eyes, isn't it? So, in many great personalities' life also, these things happen. These things happen in everybody's life. Nobody is free from that. Nobody is free from that. One great Mahatma, many of them had cancer at the time of death. And the difference is that, did they not feel pain? They felt the pain. They felt the pain. They felt all the problems. But what was the difference then? What was the situation? That they had the experience that because they had moved away from the body, body was experiencing the pain, but this realization inside strongly, I'm not this body, has helped them not to get able to tolerate that pain. That's what it was happening to them. Not that sometimes people say like this, oh, so-and-so had a cancer. Oh, so-and-so had something else and some other illness. And did they not feel the pain? They did feel the pain. They all had to. Sometimes people say, oh, he never felt it because he was self-realized, he didn't feel the pain. We say like that about them. You say, because he was self-realized, he didn't feel the pain. No, they feel the pain. But what it is inside that realization that I'm not this body, is so powerful that they can live with that. That pain, what was experienced here. So, one personality like that, that when he left this body, the doctor came to see him. Doctor came to see him. When he held his pulse wasn't working. There was not breathing either. And when he looked at the heart touch there, that was also not functioning at all. Completely dead. But at the same time, looking at his face, there was life in the face. So he wakes up after a while from that state. And many times science will not be able to answer these questions of the body of a realized soul. How that body, because it is not the normal way like the ordinary body and consciousness functions. So we play with this dead matter. That's what our science is all about, isn't it? This dead matter, that is what we play with. So this dead matter, this dead body is not me, is not me. So this relationship with this dead body or jada shariram or this material body is something like we are occupying this place for some time. So just like that, we are staying inside this body. And using this body, we are performing different vyavaharam. All the transactions are happening. So, so if you ask that, body is doing the vyavaharam and mind is assisting the vyavaharam, that is what is going on here. But separately from the body and the mind, our consciousness remains. So if you go back to the breathing, what is going on inside, if you think that that is what it is, then you cannot even answer that question. Because when the air goes inside, who gives a guarantee that it has to come out from there? Is it not? Where is the guarantee that, and what control have we got over that? When air goes inside, it goes, but it comes out as well, isn't it? So that working system, whoever has designed it and developed and put it inside, that system is functioning even without our any influence over it, is it not? Any influence over it. So why does it say like that? Because if you look into Upanishads, these are the things spoken in the Upanishads to make us, to educate us in the proper way. Keno Upanishad says this. The first verse in the Keno Upanishad says, Om Keneshidam Patati Preshidam Manaha Kena Prana Pradama Praidi Yuktaha Keneshidam Vajamimam Vadandi Chakshu Shrotram Ka O Devo Yunanti. Om Keneshidam Patati Preshidam Mana Kena Prana Pradama Praidi Yuktaha Keneshidam Vajamimam Vadandi Chakshu Shrotram Ka O Devo Yunanti. Keno Upanishad is saying, you know, out of the 10 Upanishads, after Isha Upanishad, Keno Upanishad. Isham, Kenam, Katha, Prasnam, Mundam, Mandukya, Taitiri. Chandokyam, Brihadaranyam, Aitireyam. These are the 10 major Upanishads. So Keno Upanishad is one of the important Upanishads, among the 10 major Upanishads. And that Upanishad begins with this verse. Begins with this verse. What it says is, Om Kene Eshidam Padadi Preshidam Mana. Very good question. Kene Eshidam Padadi Preshidam Mana. Who is inside asking the mind to go after a particular sense object? It's a good question, isn't it? Sometimes we live in this world, we exist, in other words. we exist. But if you think about it in this way, that how did I get attracted to a particular object in this world, or a particular person, or anything? That is what Kenamishad is asking this question. Om ken eshidam padati preshidam mana. Who told the mind to get attracted to that? Who told that to the mind? Then, kena prana prathama praidi yuktaha. By who is encouraging this vital force inside, pranan, inside, and force that pranan to do its work in the body? Who is doing that? That's the question. Pranan, everybody accept that. Pranan exists inside, isn't it? And pranan is doing the job. It is only due to the pranan, you know what? Pancha pranan and pancha upapranan. 5 major pranan and 5 supplementary pranans are in the body. pranan, apanan, samanan, udanan, vyanan. The 5 major pranans, and there is supplementary pranans as well. So, all these 5 pranans, they are doing their job in the body. Is it not? You know what they are. We talked about it many times. Different pranan, what they do. Circulation of the blood and digestion of the food, evacuation and pranan which is circulating all over the body, samanan balances everything, udanan, vyanan, all of them, 5 of them. Who is telling the pranan to do it? That this should work. Who is telling the pranan to do it? And kena eshidam vacham imam vadandi. Who is making us to speak? Vacham idam vadandi. Who is making us to speak? Kenamishad is asking this question. And chakshu shrotram ka u devo yunakti. Who is actually sitting inside directing the chakshu and shrotram? That means eyes and the ears. Who is directing that from inside? This is the first question the Rishi is asking in the Kenamishad. That when we think about that, you can see that sages never took this external body very seriously. They were studying what is the impact of the soul on this body. That's more important for them. For them, what is going on in the body is not important. What is the effect of the soul on the body? Effect of the soul on the body. If you look at that, is it due to the mind that everything is happening? No, because mind is also moving all the time. Mind is also moving all the time. And that person inside who is constantly witnessing all these changes happening inside the body. Somebody is witnessing inside, isn't it? So it is not the mind, because mind is changing. It's not the intelligence. Intelligence is changing. And while in the deep sleep state, this intelligence is not working either. Even at that time, I am present. So that witness or consciousness or that awareness, it is he that matters. It's not the mind, it's not the intelligence, it's not the pranan. That's why this question, who is our mind is constantly changing. Intelligence is changing. Body is of course changing. Everything is changing in the body. But someone inside is constantly observing these changes happening and is able to report back to us that these changes are happening in the body, inside the body. And even though in the dream state the mind is working, even the gross body has gone out of action, in the deep sleep state the mind also goes away and dissolves, as well as the intelligence. Intelligence also dissolves, but still he is there. He is there. So when he wakes up from that deep sleep state, he is aware of that, what was happening in the deep sleep. All what was going there was that experience only. The sushupti state is only the experience. So buddhi also has changed, isn't it? That you can see. When you were born, you had a certain level of intelligence. When you grew up, another level of intelligence. In the old age, another level of intelligence. So intelligence is also changing. So in the children, the intelligence has not developed. That is only in the process of developing. By the time they are 60, 65 years old, what is happening? Intelligence has developed to some extent, but memory has gone. You can see the changes happening inside this body. Intelligence is developing, but the memory is going at that time. So people call this as in the modern illness list, dementia, or what's the other one? The Parkinson's, isn't it? Alzheimer's. Yeah. Alzheimer's, yes. Alzheimer's. So all these illnesses, we are now given them a name, that's all. Not that they didn't exist before. It existed all the time. But now we have given a name, so we say, oh, we found out something new. But it's nothing new. It's always there. The body will do all these things all the time. But it may be happening to different degrees. That's another thing. Due to external circumstances, it can change. That can change. But the important point is that these things will happen. And when such illnesses come, what happens that they forget everything. They can forget the names of the people, their own children. The parents will forget the name of the children. Sometime in 2011, they will talk about things what has happened before 1990 or 1980. They'll talk about all that in depth, but they won't remember what happened yesterday. So all they have lost that period in their life, for say from 1990 to 2011, that period is lost in the life. And this has happened somewhere in the brain. So so time is another disease. Time is another disease. When we have that disease inside, we remember everything. We remember everything. But when you lose that time, what you have lost due to this illness, even if you take, for example, through the illness, even if you have lost a period of time, what has happened? People will think that, oh, something serious has happened. Nothing has happened, actually. Inside, that person is not affected by all these things. What Krishna is saying there is that mind is never perfect, it is never complete. It is changing. Intelligence also, memory is also never perfect. It will change. It will change. Nobody can remember it. Everything, if he wants to remember, he can remember. Today, probably with a lot of effort, you can memorize a lot of verses and remember them. After 10 years, if somebody asks you, I can't remember the verses, you will go back to the book again, isn't it? So why is that? You can't remember that. It is not possible. It's not possible. So, so if you ask this question, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm none of these, then who am I? That question comes, but you cannot answer that question till you know what you are. That's the problem. So till then, you should not answer that question. That's the right thing to do. Only if you answer at the point when you have realized who you are, it makes any sense. Otherwise, it is not. Till you realize who you are, till you realize that who I am, I should not answer that question, but I should keep asking this question to take me to that point who I am. To take me to get to that point. So, everything has to come to this point. Similarly, meditation also. Meditation, mind is absorbed, isn't it? You are absorbing the mind in the meditation. Absorbing the mind in the meditation. And after a long period of meditation, the mind gets purified. The mind gets purified. So, immediately you'll ask this question, I have been meditating on a particular form for a long period of time, but who was that person who was performing the meditation? That question will come at that time. So, all the meditation, everything, eventually has to come back to that question. Who is the person who is performing the meditation? So, so it is only then this question will wake up of the performance importance of the soul. To bring someone to the point of the soul, it is not easy. Especially when the senses are open wide in the world and the mind is constantly absorbed in the sense objects. That is why you can see in the meditation process, I mentioned this before also, in the Bhagavatam, Krishna will talk about this. Actually, Kapila Maharshi says this. Krishna also says the same thing in a different way. What is that? You are meditating on a particular form, and at some point in time that form disappears from inside. Isn't it? You kept on meditating on a particular form. That meditation process in the Bhagavadam is to point out this one thing to us. You are continue the meditation process, ultimately the form will disappear from inside. When that form disappears, you will ask this question, I have lost that form. To take us to the point, you will ask this question again, that who was performing the meditation. To take us to that point, otherwise it won't happen. We will never think about this important aspect of us, which is this awareness. Rather, we will spend our time a lot in all other things in this world. So, so that is where it starts. So if you ask that question, that answer that comes from inside, I am, that consciousness, awareness inside, who is that? What is his nature? What is that form of that personality inside? And that has to come through the process of self-realization. Self-realization is meant for that purpose. Even while chanting the holy name, if this thought happens inside, it is a good thing. Because even while chanting, to ask this question, who is chanting? Who is this chanting, person who is chanting? That means you are connected with the soul. You are connected with the soul. Spiritual realization it is. Isn't it? Generally people ask the question, what should I do while chanting? The answer normally given is that you hear what is being when you chant the holy name. But if you chant the holy name and if you are regularly hearing, at some point this question will come up inside, who is the person who is chanting? Who is the person who is chanting? It has to happen. So, till that happens, inquiry comes. That is where the beginning of spiritual inquiry. When till that inquiry comes, whatever we may do in this life, ultimately nothing will happen. Because Swarajya Samrad Abhishiktaha, we have an empire inside, empire of the soul. And that empire, till you don't get to that empire, Swarajya Samrajyam it is called, your own empire inside, the empire of the soul, till you get there, sa samrad na kanchana nadumichari. Then once you have got involved there and you started realizing who you are, at that point what it says is there that nowhere you have to surrender anymore outside to anything. That what it means, that one who has self-realized and who is situated on the platform of the soul, for him there is no more false ego in that person. False ego exists when you are in the body, in the mind, in the intelligence. That is when the false ego is present there. But once you have left the body, left the mind, left the intelligence, not physical level, but the shift has happened inside, the identity level, it has gone into the soul, then the false ego cannot disturb that person anymore. And once you have got hold of that thing inside, he will realize that everything what he sees in this world also is the same thing. Also is the same thing. So, and he realizes, that is what he mentions here, isn't it? There is only soul exists. Only soul exists when he has found self-realization happens at that time. Nothing else exists outside the soul. And same vastu, vastu means the object, is present in every body. The same thing is illuminating every body. Eliminating every body. So not only every body means in all objects, in the not only human body, in the birds, in the animals, in the plants, in the trees, not only that, in the sun, in the moon, and in the sky. And when you start realizing that, that is universal form. That is the universal form realization. Universal form realization. Universal form realization. But what is the difference here? For Arjuna, Krishna gave that experience temporarily. But for a person who is engaged in sadhana and realizing the truth, once he gets it, it remains. That is what Krishna is saying there. For Arjuna, because he hasn't reached that state, Krishna has to pull it back from him. But the experience of that universal form happens to a self-realized soul in this way. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there What is that? In the Kavi Maharshi's statement, you remember? Or the devotee, if you look into Bhagavatam, you'll see there, Kam vayu magnim salilam mahim cha janeshu. It is Kavi Maharshi saying this, isn't it? Yeah. The 12 verses Kavi has spoken, the first of the Navayogis. He's saying what will happen to a person in the realized state. What is he saying? Kam vayu magnim salilam mahim cha jyotim shri sattva nidisho drumadin saril samudram shahare shariram yalkinja bhutam pranamedananyaha. He says that Kham vayu magnim salilam mahim cha. Kham means the sky. Vayu is air. Agni is fire. Salilam is water. Kham vayu magnim salilam mahim cha. Bhumi, mahi means earth. Bhumi. Earth. And what else? Jodim shi sattva nidisho drumadin. All the planets in the Jodhargolam. That means all the planets which are in the sky. And then saril samudramscha hare shariram. When he looks at the ocean or the sea also, he is seeing no difference from one to another. Why? Yal kinja bodham pranamed ananyaha. It is all Krishna's body. It is all Krishna's body. So you can see that realization, when it happens in a person, practically he is seeing everything as Krishna's body. Everything as Krishna's body. So here in this verse, we are talking about that universal form experience. Arjuna saw the universal form, and that universal form, Arjuna is seeing a lot of things, and Arjuna is shaken with a whole wonder what he was experiencing at that moment. He was not ready for it. Was he? But self-realized person, he is experiencing the same thing like Arjuna. Krishna's presence in everything. Arjuna is also seeing Krishna's presence, but Arjuna could not bear that. He found it very difficult, and he told Krishna, come back to the normal state what you were before. Realized person, he is seeing the same thing in the realizations. Kam vayu magnim salilam mahimja janeshu sattveshu disha drumadin yal kincha bhutam praname dananya. Realized personality, when he sees Krishna's form like this, the whole creation as Krishna's form, or in other words, universal form is Krishna's form, he pays obeisances to that. Seeing Krishna everywhere, in everything. That is the important thing here. That is the important thing here. So here that not only Vishwarupa Darshanam, that is the proper universal form. That is a proper universal form, not what Arjuna has seen. Arjuna was shown what was shown through Maya, isn't it? Maya Darshanam it is. Arjuna's universal form is Maya Darshanam, Maya's activities. Whereas realized person, when he is seeing this form, it is not anymore Maya Darshanam. It's not anymore Maya Darshanam. He is seeing Krishna there in everything. It's seeing Krishna there anywhere. So, Nakham Khalidam Brahmam. All the Upanishad statements, if you look, you will mention like this. Everything what he is seeing is Atma, the soul. The soul is what he is seeing at that moment. Idam Kshatram, Idam Brahma, Sarvam Yada Atmaha. Everything what he is seeing is Atma. Nothing else exists outside Atma. Once we come to that state, then there is complete Shanti. What Krishna says. That is why in that Kavi Maharshi statement you will see Tataparam Shanti Ubaidi Sakshal. He says there. Isn't it? If you look into that verses in that second chapter in the 11th canto, Krishna is there. Kavi Maharshi's description of self-realization is very good. We have to look at each verse all the time and keep remembering that, because otherwise, how do we understand what is self-realization? He says here, Ityachudangrim bhajadonu vrtya bhaktir virakthir bhagavat prabhodam Bhavandi vai Bhagavata Sirajam Tadaparam Shantimubaidi Sakshal. When this realization happens to a devotee or a jnani, what happens to him? Tadaparam Shantimubaidi Sakshal. He comes to completely in peace. And in that state, Tadaparam Shantimubaidi Sakshal, he doesn't get disturbed anymore by anything what is going on in this world. Whereas, normally people who are not realized, who are under the, if they are exposed to universal form, they get disturbed, like Arjuna had at that point. Arjuna was affected by that, isn't it? But the same experience in the realized state, a jnani or a devotee who is completely realized in that, who is seeing the presence of the soul in everything, he is not disturbed. On the other hand, Tadaparam Shanti Ubayadi Sakshal, he is in the state of Shanti. He is in the state of Shanti. So, everywhere. So, Sarvakalidam Brahmam. And so, with that realization, all the problems of the life is solved. All the problems of this life is solved. But all these things, when we read from the Bhagavadam or when we talk about it from Bhagavad Gita, it all remains as a, how to say, it's not something which we can experience at the moment, isn't it? So, it is easy to say that to ask this question, who am I? But, then they will ask what is the technique of doing that. Technique is this, that if you keep analyzing, this is what is called Atmavicharam. Atmavicharam means to absorb in the soul, to give some time for that, to some time for that. If you are not giving any time for that, it means that you are still trying to get it through mind and intelligence. Once you understood that mind and intelligence cannot do it, then what is the point trying to go through the mind and intelligence, but rather to stay out of it and go through the verses and go what Krishna has to say about it. So here, what is this? If you analyze it, you will see as much as the attention is directed away from the mind, away from the intelligence, if you don't do that, it will go back to the mind and intelligence again. If you don't go back to the mind and intelligence. It is in a peculiar plane that this experience will come. This experience will come. Sometimes people engage in meditation. Engage in meditation. A lot of people who are into meditation, isn't it? So this meditation process, that what will happen is, they will still absorb in the mind and intelligence, and they'll fall asleep. They fall asleep during the meditation. So, the nature, if we have understood the nature of the mind, mind is such a thing, if it does not get a grip of anything, you will fall asleep. Straight away, you will fall asleep. So, therefore, Rajogunam will come. What can you do? There's only one way that initially, Krishna is saying here, that all takes a form, Krishna's form, and start remembering that form somehow. And everybody will not be able to perform this knowledge or the self-realization process effectively. It will take different time for different people. So, Sattvagunam, when Sattvagunam develops in a person, which is helped by the process of deity worship, temple worship, and that is only in course of time, that temple worship and deity worship should take that person towards the attention of the soul, attention of the soul. So, if the living entity is sincerely following this process, it will ultimately, that mode of goodness will bring him to that state. Mode of bringing. So, Arjuna came to know what he wanted to know. And he told him that. And he mentioned this at the end of the 10th chapter. If you look, by end of the 10th chapter, Krishna has spoken a lot of things there, isn't it? And 11th chapter, when he began, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Mohoyam Vigado Mama, all my illusion has gone. All my illusions have gone. But why did he keep asking again question to Arjuna? That is because he wanted to again experience that. That the doubts what Arjuna had has gone at the end of 10th chapter. And then again Krishna, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Mad anugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyalpa samnidam. That spiritual secret, confidential knowledge, you have spoken for my benefit. Arjuna says to Krishna, Yatvaya uktam vajasthena. By hearing that, my moham has gone. Arjuna says, my moham has gone. Then why did he ask Krishna to show the universal form? Reason is this, that although he understood it, experience level it hasn't happened yet. Just like us, we are also accepting up to the 10th channel where Krishna is saying everything, but in experience level it hasn't happened. And that is why, in order to establish that truth once again, so he wanted to experience that, therefore he asked that question to Krishna to show that universal form. Today, even if you hear Bhagavad Gita many times, all these statements in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, you will also on an intellectual level accept it without too much of a problem. That it is true that the consciousness is important. I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intelligence, and consciousness is pure, consciousness is complete, consciousness is not affected by the body, mind, intelligence. All these things you can accept, isn't it? But at the same time, till you experience that, you cannot say that you have the benefit of it. You have the benefit of that. So that is why it's mentioned here that when Krishna is bringing that realization to us, that we will not accept that. We will not accept that, and we don't give credit to Krishna for that. So, after trying a long time, when we are not experiencing that realization, still we complain that is this Bhagavad Gita correct or Bhagavadam correct or not. So, so in order that Arjuna do not ask any more questions after that, Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna. So everything is what is known as darshanam. Darshanam. In other words, only if he experiences it, he will accept it. This was the problem with Arjuna. Only if he experiences it, he will accept it. If a stage comes like that, the only choice left is to experience. There is no other way. And that's what Krishna did. So we'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.